Hello and thank you for accessing these worship resources for December 13th, which is the third Sunday of Advent. I offer this prayer. O God of hope, renew in us the joy of your salvation and make us a living sacrifice to you for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The gospel appointed for December 13th is from John's Gospel, beginning in the first chapter at the sixth verse. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. This is the testimony given by John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny it, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." They asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Well, who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Why then are you baptizing if you are neither the Messiah nor Elijah nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water. Among you stands one whom you do not know, the one coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal." This took place in Bethany across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I pray that the words of my lips, the thoughts and the meditations of all our hearts, will be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. During this pandemic, one of the saddest comments I regularly hear is some version of, "I have lost my joy." The loss of that spark we call joy is something that has been a common product of the changes we have all faced over the past few months. We mourn its loss and look for ways to recapture it, and on this third Sunday of Advent, we are encouraged to think about the topic of joy as the pink joy candle joins the peace and hope candles on our Advent wreath. The Bible actually has a great deal to say about the topic, with 27 of the 150 Psalms containing the word joy or joyful, and approximately 200 verses of the Bible containing those words. Among the more well-known verses is one from John's Gospel. Jesus said, "I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete." The psalm appointed for today announces that those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. It would seem, then, that God wishes us to have joy and that much joy exists in the place where God resides. Remember that when Jesus told the parables of the lost sheep, he said, "There will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent." That's from Luke chapter 15, verse 7. Joy is meant to be ours, so when we lose our joy, there must be a way to get it back. One of the songs that has been provided by our Sunday school curriculum has the following words: "This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. The world didn't give it, the world can't take it away. The truth of this little children's song seems to have been overtaken by the events of our having our lives affected by the COVID-19 virus, but it is truth all the same. Joy does not really come from circumstances. It comes from God and our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. In the 15th chapter of John's Gospel, we learn something very important about joy and our connection with God. Using the illustration of a vineyard, Jesus told his disciples that, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing." John 15, verse 5. And then later in the same speech, he said, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you, and your joy will be complete." John 15, 10-11. Joy, then, has been planted in our hearts, along with the love of God, and from there it grows or doesn't grow. If God has given us this joy, what can we do if we lose sight of it? In St. Paul's letter to the Galatians, he writes, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." That's in chapter 5, verses 22 and 23 of Galatians. What I gather from this verse and others is that joy is a product of our relationship with Jesus Christ and not something that depends on our circumstances. Now, to be sure, a positive circumstance does help our feelings of joy, but the absence of a positive circumstance does not eliminate the possibility of joy. As we contemplate this topic, I want to look again at some of the passages of Scripture assigned for this coming Sunday. As mentioned earlier, the psalm ends with the words, "Those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy. Those who go out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, carrying their sheaves." It seems that while it is acknowledged that sadness does exist in our lives, that joy will come. Joy, then, is like fruit that grows because of its connection with the vine. As mentioned above, Jesus said to his disciples, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me will bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing." Joy then comes because it is the fruit of God's Holy Spirit. This makes it very important for us to maintain our connection with God. In the first letter of St. Paul to the Christians in Thessalonica, he urges them to rejoice always. He then points his readers to their source, the God of peace, and assures them that the source of their joy, love, peace, patience, and so on, is the God who raised Jesus, the Messiah, from the dead. It is the Messiah who is the one to whom Isaiah refers in the passage from the 61st chapter of Isaiah. This, you may recall, is the portion of the scroll of Isaiah which Jesus read in the synagogue in Nazareth at the beginning of his public ministry. Jesus, then, is the one who was anointed to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, and so on. Jesus is the one who said, "I am the vine, you are the branches," and Jesus is the one who brings about our ability to experience joy. There is, you see, a common thread to the topic of joy, and it is that joy is a result of our connection with God and not necessarily a product of what's going on around us. So, does that mean we should ignore our circumstances and just put on a happy face? I don't think so. But I also don't think we need to face the troubles of this life with the thought that our chance for joy is at an end. Joy, like peace and hope, are planted in our lives through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us the way a seed is planted in a garden. The seed grows under the ground where it cannot be seen, but evidence of its growth does come at some point. As followers of Jesus Christ, we have been grafted into the vine and given the gift of joy, but the evidence of its growth may be waiting to be shown to us. Recently, I was watching a group of people when a very serious-looking man suddenly changed his expression at the sight of what must have been his granddaughter. The granddaughter didn't create the joy. Her presence awakened it in him. It was their relationship that allowed the fruit of joy to come bubbling up to the surface of the man's life. It was always there. It just needed some stimulation. I think this event describes our circumstance very well. If we have a relationship with God, the joy of the Lord is there, but it might need some stimulation to be seen. So to be joyful in the midst of this pandemic means that we allow the joy of the Lord that is in us and allow that joy to be our strength. Focusing our attention on our relationship with Jesus Christ and singing our praises to God may result in us finding joy bubbling up. Giving thanks to the Lord for our blessings may mean that we find joy appear as a bonus. So take heart, sisters and brothers. God wishes you to experience joy. And if you're finding it difficult to experience that joy, you may need a bit more stimulation. So call a friend. Stay connected with your loved ones. Look at pictures of joyous events and give thanks, and don't be afraid to laugh out loud. We have a great helper in this journey in the Holy Spirit, but we also have helpers all around us in the people we know and love. In this time of pandemic, we may need to work a little harder to stay connected with our family and friends, but the effort will be rewarded as the stimulation for joy will come more readily. I'm reminded of what the writer of the letter to the Hebrews said in chapter 12, verses 1 to 2. He said, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who, for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God." Always remember, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. The world didn't give it. The world can't take it away. Amen.